We are blessed to have talented musicians that can lead us in worship. I'm just so thankful for them and thankful for Derek. And I agree, right? That's a powerful message that even if God doesn't, we will choose to be faithful. We will choose to worship Him. That's a powerful song indeed. Well, good morning again. It is good to see you again. It's just always a privilege and an honor. I'm always excited to get up here and preach God's Word to you guys. And I'm really excited to get into today's passage with you specifically. But before we pray, I just want to give a shout out to the office ladies. So Cheryl and Christy, they do a lot behind the scenes. They save you from a lot that you don't know. Right. If it was up to me on your bulletin this morning, it would have been an AI-generated picture of Pastor Bob slamming a chair over an AI-generated me. Right? Wrestling with the Lord. What better than that? WWE style wrestling, right? But you see, they take my childish ideas and they filter them, and you get what you have on your bulletin today. Right? So next time you see them, when you see them on your way out, thank them for all that they do. But we're going to be talking about wrestling with the Lord, and I'm excited to do that. But before we get there, let's go pray. And Father, we are so grateful, Lord, once again, God, just to be here. God, as we dig into your word this morning, Lord, as we dig into Genesis chapter 32, Lord, we just pray, God, that you show us our sin. God, that you encourage us, that you convict us. God, that you make us more like you in light of learning more about who you are and how you interact with us. Be with us today. Bless us, God. Guide us. Direct us. Help us, God, as we pursue a relationship with you. God, be with me. Help it be your words and not my words. God, get me out of the way this morning and let your word be central. Father, be with us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you asked 15-year-old Kevin if I would ever be up here doing this right now, I would have just laughed in your face, right? I was lost, didn't care to be found. I would never have done this, right? Now, fast forward a year, and you ask 16-year-old Kevin, who has been saved, right? God saved me from my sins. He rescued me. I was saved at 16. If you had asked 16-year-old Kevin, I still probably would have laughed, right? It wouldn't have been a positive response. I had plans, right? I had a dream. I had goals in life. And being up here was just not that, right? At that time, and now we're talking way back, right? We're talking way back. This is 12 years ago. We're in the middle of the 2010s, people, right? Ancient times. I was young in my faith. I figured I'd go to this party. My friends had invited me to them. And, you know, and I was only going to go to show them that Christians, newly Christians, right, could still be cool, right? I was going to go. I'd drink in moderation, and I would just hang out. They knew I was all a Christian, and everything was going to be good, right? The problem was, I was trying to hold on to my former life and have my new life, too. In reality, I hadn't let go of my old sinful life. I was wrestling with the flesh and with the spirit. There was this tension of hanging with old buddies and pursuing Jesus. I was wrestling over what I wanted to do versus what God's will for me was. I was wrestling over drinking and smoking on Saturday night and going to church on Sunday. And in this season, I wanted what I wanted. I wanted my old friends and that friend group that I had grown up with, but I wanted what God wanted for me, right? I wanted a deeper relationship with Him. I wanted His blessings. I wanted His guidance and His direction. I was wrestling. But this pattern, it quickly fell apart. It was just unsustainable. I couldn't do both. And God was calling me to a different path, right? And those friends, they aren't my friends today. And still, to this day, I wrestle. Even accepting the Lord's calling on this position, I wrestled with it. And for a moment, it seemed a lot better idea to just be the part-time youth guy and keep my job at BEMC, right? Kind of to meld God's calling on my life with some good old financial comfort, right? I was wrestling with it. And if I wonder, you here this morning, you might feel the same way, right? You want the things of God. You want God's will for your life. But if you're honest, you want the things that you want. You want to do the things that you want to do. And most of us in the room have felt like this. We, at some point, we have felt like we are wrestling with God. And right now, you might be wrestling with God over a job, right? Maybe you're choosing financial comfort over obedience. And maybe you're wrestling with God over a relationship. Maybe a relative or a friend that's hurt you. And there's just some bitterness, right? There's some bitterness in you. You don't want to forgive this person. But you're wrestling, right? You know God wants you to reconcile with them. Maybe you're trying your hardest this morning to try to convince yourself that your will is God's will. And you're wrestling with that. I could go all day with examples, right? Because it's true. God is calling you, but you're wrestling with it. And if you feel like you're wrestling with God, you're in good company, right? Today, we're going to go back and look at a story about a man who actually physically wrestled with God. It's a pretty wild story, right? And so it's a wild story that we're going to take a look at. And it's in Genesis, the very first book of your Bibles. Go ahead and try to find that for me. It's easy to find. You just open up the front and you flip a couple pages. There, you're in Genesis. Go to chapter 32. We're going to be in verses 24 through 32. And once you find that, go ahead and rise to your feet as we honor the reading of God's word together. Genesis 32, starting in 24, says, "And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day has broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.' The sun rose up upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. And therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh." You may be seated. As we walk through this passage, as we go back and we go take a closer look at today's passage, I want to give you two challenges this morning. All right? I want to leave you two challenges for you in the room who you feel like your life is a wrestling match with God. Right? Right? You want what you want, but you also want what God wants. Let me give you some context for today's passage. Then we're going to jump into it. We're going to walk through the text. Let's talk about Jacob, right, and how he has found himself wrestling on the ground in the dirt with God. So today's passage is actually, it's the climax of Jacob's story. Now, Jacob has known the promises of God his entire life, right? The son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Jacob would have known the promises of God. He would have known the stories, right? He knew he'd been promised land. He knew he was going to have lots of descendants. But Jacob is also a man who wants what he wants when he wants it. And when you read Jacob's story, now man, it's a story of deception. He cheats and cheats and cheats everything he has gotten in life with deception. He's lied about everything, and he knows God's will, but he wants what he wants when he wants it. And this is just not a good way to live. Right, and Jacob's about to find that out very clearly here. It's all going to catch up with him. The repercussions of this sinful life, of this life of deceit and cheating, it catches up with him here in today's passage and just before it. Jacob cheats his brother Esau out of his birthright. You know the story, right? He trades him his birthright for a cup of stew. Man, it must have been really good stew. Or maybe Esau just wasn't that bright. But either way, right, he cheats him out of his birthright. And then he cheats his father, Isaac, out of this blessing that was meant for Esau. But now, years later, Jacob, he's got to come to terms with all of this cheating. So after cheating his father-in-law, Laban, the Lord calls him home. The Lord tells him to come home. Well, there's a big problem with this, folks. Esau is at home, right? So he's been in the land of his father-in-law. He's coming home. But he's got to go face-to-face with his brother. And the biggest problem about that is Esau has vowed to kill Jacob. That's kind of a problem. So Jacob is about to meet Esau face-to-face. So before this passage, in the chapter before, we read, right, Jacob is preparing to leave. He's on his way. He's got all of his herd. He's got his servants. He's got his family. And he sends out messengers ahead of the way to Esau to let him know that he's coming, right? Notifying him of his return. But then he gets some news that he doesn't quite like. Not only does Esau know he's coming, Esau is coming to meet him. And he's bringing 400 men with him. Well, that's not good news. This is not what Jacob wanted to hear. Jacob is terrified, right? Jacob is fearing his brother. He's got his family with him. He's got his entire life being uprooted, moving back to his homeland. And his brother has 400 men to come meet him on the road. So Jacob prays to God. And if this is interesting, because if you followed along, if you're familiar with Jacob's story, you would know this is the first time the Bible records Jacob praying. Here, in the face of this bad news, Jacob prays for the first time. And you know what that means. In other words, Jacob is a lot like us, right? He prays, but only when he has to, only when he has no other options. And after he prays, Jacob divides his camp into two, right? Right, thinking if Esau wipes him out and kills his party in his camp, at least some of his family will endure, right? Maybe he won't get the second camp. He sends them ahead of him, and he sends Esau this massive gift, this overly generous gift. It's 200 goats, it's 200 sheep, it's 30 camels, 50 cows, and 30 donkeys, right? This is some of the wealth that he's accumulated under his father-in-law, Laban. So he sends us out. He sends his servants with them, right? And then, right, his family prepares. They cross the river in advance of tomorrow, right, this big day when he's going to meet Esau face-to-face on the road. Jacob remains behind. They cross the river. He waits. And he's there alone, the Bible says. And that's where we pick up today. Tomorrow is a big day for him. He's there alone, contemplating, thinking about how this is going to go. Tomorrow, he's going to stand face to face with his brother. But out of nowhere, in the midst of this wrestling match inside of him, he's actually attacked. He's attacked by a person, right? Comes out of nowhere in the story. It's very abrupt. And a man wrestles with him all night long until the sun comes up. Stranger still, we find out through the text, this isn't just a man, but it's God himself that he's wrestling with. All night they wrestle. Now, if you're like me, you read this passage and you're like, what in the world is going on here? Why is God wrestling Jacob in the dirt all night long? It's a strange account. Let me help you understand. So in a lot of ways, this wrestling match between Jacob and God is symbolic of Jacob's entire life. For his entire life, this is what Jacob has been doing. For his entire life, he's known God's will, but he's chosen to do it his way. Jacob has been wrestling with God. And maybe it's the same for you, right? Your entire life, you've been doing what you want to do, right? You know God's desire for you and for your life, right? You know it. But you've been wrestling. So here's my first challenge for you this morning. Stop fighting with God. Right? That's easy. It's simple. It's hard. Stop fighting with God. He is God and you are not. Right? And come face to face with that reality. And you're going to have like a Jacob moment is what I'm going to call it. Right? This is what you've been doing. You're wrestling with God. whether it's rejecting God's will with a relationship or whatever it is, right? You know it. And maybe you know this from experience. I certainly do. But when we wrestle with God, when you're fighting with God, when you say, no, God, not your will, but mine, it does not end with joy or peace or satisfaction. It ends with misery, right? And maybe you're miserable this morning because you're fighting. You're fighting with God's will. And God is clear here, right? God wants good for you. He wants blessings for you inside of his will. And the Bible is clear. The Bible is sufficient for everything we need in this life, right? So the choice is yours. Are you going to cling to God's word? Are you going to stay true to his word and what he's taught us and his will? Or are you going to do it your way, right? You're going to fight against him. Look back at verse 25 with me. So they're fighting till dawn, right? And he says, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, this is interesting, right? Can God defeat Jacob? Absolutely, right? In fact, the text says that only God had to touch him. He just tapped him, and Jacob's hip went out of socket. Now, I'm not an expert on wrestling. I am an expert on janky hips because I have two of them, right? And I think that that would hurt, right? Jacob walks away with a limp from this. I'm sure I would too. And so God lets Jacob endure with this fight, right? It's very clear that God did not have to wrestle in the dirt with Jacob. He lets this happen. Look at what it says. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. All of a sudden, something has changed. Did you guys catch that? Something has changed. Jacob stops fighting. Right, go back and look at the text. He's holding on, and he's clinging. He stops fighting, and he starts clinging. You guys see that? And that's my second challenge for you. Stop fighting with God and start clinging to God. What would it look like for you? What would it look like in your life if you stopped wrestling with the Lord? If you stopped fighting God and you started clinging to him? Clinging to his word, clinging to his promises, clinging to his people, who are around you, who are pointing you to him and building you up. What would it look like for you to stop fighting and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done? What would that look like? A lot of us are not clinging to God, and that's just the honest truth. We think that we've got it, right? We think that we're self-sufficient, and our pride tells us that we got this. But if we're honest with ourselves, none of us are self-sufficient. We all need God. We desperately need a God who loves us despite of ourselves. We think we can handle it. We lean on our pride. Our pride tells us that we're somebody, right? And we cling to this. We cling to this I got this mentality. Or maybe we just cling to another sin, right? Either way, we're fighting, and it's destroying our lives. Stop fighting. Start clinging. Confess those sins. Repent and turn away. This morning, I need what you need. I desperately need what you so desperately need. And that's the power of God at work in our lives. That's a reminder for all of us. We cannot do this ourselves. That I got this mentality, it's not biblical, right? It's actually the complete opposite. We desperately need God. Stop fighting, start clinging. And so Jacob realizes this truth right here in this moment. He's wrestling God, but he stops. He stops fighting God. He starts clinging. And then something absolutely amazing happens. Look back at the text with me in verses 26 through 28. It says, then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, and have prevailed. Okay, God knows Jacob's name, right? God asks questions like this a lot, right? Remember in the garden, God says, where are you? And God didn't actually wonder where Adam and Eve were. They were hiding behind some little tree with fig leaves covering them. God knew where they were. And right here, God knows what Jacob's name is. But he's asking him this question because he wants him to see, he wants him to come face to face with reality. Do you know what Jacob means? It means heel catcher. It means deceiver. It means the man who's always going to try to do something dirty to get ahead. That's the meaning of his name, right? It's his identity. He's basically saying, hey, Jacob, come face to face with who you are. And then, verse 28, God says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. And that's the meaning of Israel. Jacob stops fighting, he starts clinging, and God changes his life forever. You guys see that? He gives him a new identity, a new name. Jacob is no longer the servant of his father-in-law. He's no longer the runaway brother. He's now the head of a chosen nation that will become a multitude. His new name demonstrates God's authority over his life, right? He has given him a new name, and this new name will bring about the nation that God blesses the entire world with. You know what's cool? It's really cool. When you and I, when we stop fighting and we start clinging to the Lord, we too will receive a new name. So the book of Revelation, it opens up with Jesus' promise that he will give to those who believe and who persevere a white stone. And on the stone, a new name is inscribed that no one knows except the one who receives it. That's Revelation 2:17. This means Jesus is going to give all believers new names one day. Again, demonstrating his authority over us and the fact that we have come into a new family, God's family. We're given a new name. That's pretty cool, right? So, when we get there, you can feel free to still call me Pastor Handsome in heaven, okay? Just letting you know. But verse 28 is interesting. Go back to verse 28 with me. So Jacob's name is changed because he has striven with God and prevailed. That's a puzzler, right? In other words, Jacob, you won. You beat me. So let me get this right, right? Like, Jacob wrestles with God in the flesh and beats him. Right? Hold up. How in the world does Jacob beat God? Because there's only one person that walks away with a limp, and it ain't God. Right? How does this make sense? Like, make it make sense. Jacob wins by losing. Right? Jacob wins by losing. And that's what the text says, folks. Right? Jacob doesn't overpower God. He doesn't defeat him in this wrestling match. Instead, Jacob submits to God. He clings to him. He doesn't let go until God blesses him. You don't ask for a blessing from someone you just bested in a physical altercation, right? You don't ask for a blessing from somebody that's your equal, that you wrestled with all night long and you only gave up because you were kind of tired. You had a long day in the morning, right? You don't ask for a blessing from someone. So what does it mean that Jacob strived with God and won? Jacob recognized who he was grappling with. When all it took was a touch and his hip was out of socket, he comes to terms with who he's wrestling with. He clings to his God, he submits to him, and he desperately pleads for a blessing. In fact, he won't let go until he gives him one. That is when you and I win. Right, right? When you cling to God and say, not my will, but yours be done, when you desperately cling, you stop fighting, start clinging, That is when you win. Guys, it was only by mercy that God wrestled with him in the first place, right? God allowed Jacob to wrestle with him. And it's the same mercy that God allows us to wrestle with him still today. Like, we wrestle with his will just by mercy. Jacob had to come face to face with his sin. He came face to face with God, and God left him with a limp as a reminder that he has come face to face, that he has been wrestling with God, and it's time to stop fighting and to start clinging. It's the same mercy that God shows us every day that he showed Jacob there. Wrestling with God is a losing battle, folks. Right? We wrestle and we lose. We fight and we lose. And this moment, this Jacob moment is what I'm calling it, it's when we realize we're fighting against God's will for our lives. We're fighting with our own pride, our own self-sufficiency. We think we can do it our way and have God's way too. It's this moment, right? This moment where Jacob sees it, right? And I hope you do too. That you come to this point where you recognize and realize, just stop fighting and start clinging. When we lose, we win. And this process of wrestling and losing, of fighting and clinging over and over again, it happens in our lives, and we call this thing sanctification, right? When we fight with God, we fight with him, then we have this Jacob moment where we recognize that we're fighting with God, we own our sin, we repent from our sin, and we start clinging to the Lord, right? And we do this over and over again because God gets a hold of us and he makes us more like him, but then there's other sins down the road, right? And our life kind of looks like this. But each and every day, God wins that wrestling match. We become a little bit more like him each and every day. And hopefully the process gets us to the point where we are really sanctified, and it ends with glorification. And glorification, folks, is when we get to meet Jesus face to face. Either the good Lord comes back or we die and meet him. And there's no more wrestling. We're here standing in his grace and his presence. We have a new name written on that white stone. That's pretty cool. This passage in Genesis, it reminds me of another passage. It reminds me of a passage in Matthew 26. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus wrestled with God over his will for his life, right? Jesus wrestled with God's will for his life. He knew he was about to die. And he says, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." That's Matthew 26, verse 39. And Jesus is wrestling with God's will here, right? But then he says, "Not my will, but yours." He wrestles and he submits. He loses to win. All right? Everybody who saw Jesus hung up on that cross to die, they thought they had just witnessed the greatest loss in history. But it was actually the greatest victory ever won. Jesus lost to win. You see, we didn't always wrestle with God, right? We were made perfect in his image in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, right? But sin entered the world through Adam and through Eve. And ever since then, we've been wrestling. We've needed a Savior. We've been broken by sin, and we've been desperate. But the good news is that God has sent our Savior. He has sent our Redeemer. He has sent his Son, Jesus. And we just celebrated last week. And this whole week, we've been celebrating his coming. Jesus' arrival here. So baby Jesus in the manger, he grows up. He lives a perfect life, never sins, all to die on the cross for our sins. He's the ultimate sacrificial lamb. He's the ultimate payment for our sins. What we couldn't do, we couldn't save ourselves, God did for us. He came and lived and died to satisfy this big debt that we had accrued with our sin. Jesus died on the cross. The veil was torn. And he granted us access to God the Father. He was buried in a tomb. But on the third day, he rose from the grave. And then he ascended into heaven and is there at the right hand of the Father right now. And it's that same resurrection power that rose Jesus from the dead that raises us to new life in faith in Jesus. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Jesus lost his life to win yours. So what needs to happen at this church is that a whole bunch of people need to lose, right? And at every church we need to lose. Lose your life for God. To lose your will, your desires, your wants for what God has in store for you, for what's in God's will. And so right now, it's the end of 2025. You've been wrestling with God all year, all night long. This is the last Sunday of the year. It's daybreak. Are you going to have that Jacob moment right now where you realize you've been fighting all year, and it's time to submit. It's time to cling, to stop fighting and to start clinging. Right? You've got a choice. You've got a choice. 2026. It's next week. Are you going to choose to keep fighting, to keep wrestling with God, standing on your own self-sufficiency, on your own way, on your own plan, I got this? You're going to move into 2026 in obedience, in submission, in clinging to the Lord, in clinging to God's promises and to God's great love for you. Right? That's the choice laid before you right now. So I'm going to be here. I'm going to step down. I'm going to be here. I want you to take this time as the worship team comes up. They're going to play a song. This is going to be a time of response. I want you guys to think about this, right? Wrestle with the idea that you've been wrestling with the Lord. So what that looks like is up to you, right? Everyone's going to stand. We're going to sing when they start singing. But maybe that looks like you take a seat and you pray where you are. And maybe that looks like you come to the altar and you cling to the Lord. Maybe that means you make that decision for the first time today. God, I've been wrestling with you. I've been trying to do this on my own. Today is the day where I start clinging to you for the first time. I'm right here. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you walk through that decision this morning. But now is the time to have that Jacob moment, to go face to face with God and to realize you've been wrestling and it's time to start clinging. Let me pray for us. God, we are so grateful for your eternal word. God, that you have left us with this holy scripture. And we can dig into it, God, and we can wrestle with the truth that you have left for us. God, this morning, there's many of us who are wrestling with you. God, we've been wrestling for a long time. God, this morning, I pray that you show us our sin. That you show us where we've got these strongholds in our life. God, where we're leaning on ourselves, not you. God, where we're praying, but only when we need you. God, I pray that any of us in this room, God, we feel like we're wrestling. Let today, Lord, be the day that you change our hearts. God, that you call us on our sin. And God, that you invite us to stop fighting and to start clinging. Father, be with us now, God. As we move into a time of response to your word, God, help us be obedient to you. Whatever that looks like in our life, God, give us the strength to do that. Give us the strength to pursue you headlong, head fast, and let 2026 be a year of submission and clinging rather than stubborn obstinance and fighting. Be with us now, God. On this last Sunday of 2025, God, help us move into 2026, Lord, pursuing you above all else. Help us have this Jacob moment this morning, God. Lord, we are so grateful for you. Be with us, guide us, and direct us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.